My friend, from April 29 to the 1st of May, I am running my free 3-day six-figure solopreneur challenge. Now, if you are a coach, consultant, or service provider, I'm going to teach you how to scale your business without burning out, without spending a cent on ads, without sleazy sales tactics, and without needing a huge audience. I will teach you how to upgrade your mindset to be able to call in this type of business and abundance. I'm going to teach you how to simplify to amplify your business, how to craft an irresistible offer that your dream clients are bursting to work with you, how to unlock a flood of organic leads, and how to master the art of the no-pressure sales calls that still convert like crazy, plus so much more. If you want the business of your dreams, making the income and impact of your dreams, register for free at shelaunch.com. I can't wait to see you there.
This is episode number 9 with A.L. Matsai. Welcome to the Melissa Ambrosini Show. I'm your host, Melissa, best-selling author of Mastering Your Mean Girl, and I'm here to remind you that love is sexy, healthy is liberating, and wealthy isn't a dirty word. Each week, I'll be getting up close and personal with thought leaders from around the globe to uncover the habits, mindsets, tools, and rituals that they have used to become world-class so that you can create epic change in your own life and become the best version of yourself possible. Are you ready, beautiful? AL is a sexual empowerment coach, international speaker, and author. He helps people use their sexual energy to unleash their full potential. Once they learn to love and accept themselves fully, they are able to express their highest gifts, help more people, and make more money. I first discovered AL's work through our mutual friend, Susanna. And once I heard him speak, I quickly went and read everything I could about him and his work. And I became obsessed with his work because what he is doing in the world is so important, which is why I know you guys are going to love this interview so much. In today's episode, we chat about how he came about to be a women's sexuality expert, what his definition of orgasm is and how to become multi-orgasmic, how becoming orgasmic can raise your state of consciousness, the different types of orgasm and why one is more powerful than the other, how to have whole body orgasms that last for hours, why an orgasm is a spiritual experience, how to awaken the goddess within, why sexuality starts with you, how becoming orgasmic can change your life and business, how to skyrocket your health, the importance of the masculine and feminine energy and how to elegantly dance between the two, how to empower your man, plus so much more. You guys are going to love this interview so much. Don't forget to check out the show notes at www.melissaambrosini.com/9. Everything that AL and I mention will be in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about scribbling things down. We will put it all in the show notes for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this epic interview with the one and only AL Matsai. AL, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, love. I'm really, really happy to share this amazing work with your audience.
Before we dive in, can you share what you had for breakfast this morning with us?
I had a very nice omelette with spring onion and some soy sauce, gluten-free bread with avocado and Vegemite, artichokes and also another dish of artichokes, pine nuts, and Kalamata olives. So I love my food.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, obviously like free range organic and
I'm everything. Totally coming to your place for breakfast. That sounds unbelievable.
Awesome.
So I absolutely love your work, and your book, Orgasm Unleashed, is just such a wealth of knowledge. But I've never met many men who are women's sexuality experts. How did you get into this work?
It's a great question. And, you know, it's like maybe some women are listening and they're like, oh, it's like, here's another guy that thinks that he knows about women and whatever. So yeah, it's like, I am endorsed by quite a few female sexuality educators, a man who does know what he's talking about. And I've been basically doing this all my life in one way or another. So I've always like loved and adored women, and I was always interested in more than just having sex with them, but you know, knowing them and healing them and supporting them and empowering them. And probably one of the key experiences was watching a very traumatic, very, very violent rape scene as a child. And when I've watched it, I got slightly traumatized. But also there was like a good effect from that I promised myself, I vowed myself to obviously never do that, but also to really take care of women and heal women. So that has put me on a path of sexual healing that's been going on for 30 years.
Wow. And was this, witnessing this rape scene, was this in person?
No, that was something that I've watched in cinema, but the experience was as if I was there personally.
So it had quite a profound effect on you, sounds like it.
Yeah, it was definitely very, very strong, and like I say, it was traumatic, and not just traumatic, it's basically I also turned down my sexuality and my masculinity for years after that, because I thought that like any way that I'm expressing my sexuality is wrong, and it's like what those men did. So in some ways I became kind of like the nice guy, the guy that was the women's friends and confidant, but not the lover and not the boyfriend. So I was very safe for women, and that's why I gained the confidence of women. And my path also has been to acknowledge, integrate, express my strong masculine side. And now this is something that I'm actually kind of like known for. Okay, so I'm a man who does a lot of work with women, but I'm not like a soft new age guy.
Mm.
You know, and women need that from a man. Women need a man to have balls. So yeah, a man needs to be sensitive, and yeah, a man needs to be receptive as well, which is the feminine. But the man also needs to have presence and direction and grounding and so on.
Mm, absolutely. There's that balance and there's that dance between the two. So, you know, for the men and the women, it's that constant dance between the masculine and the feminine. So
yeah.
How do we do that? How do we elegantly dance between the two?
It's about embracing both, first of all. So when I'm saying a man has to be a man, it doesn't mean, or a woman has to be a woman, it doesn't mean that we are only a man or a woman. It means that we are embracing both the masculine and the feminine. So the masculine is the part that is present. And for me, it's also very much the part which is leading. And the feminine, which is the part which is surrendering, feeling, and expressing. So if a man wants to be in his masculine, he needs to cultivate his presence, and he needs to take decisions and lead. And if a woman wants to be in her feminine, she needs to let go of control, let go of deciding, let go of knowing and understanding, and instead focus on expressing and embodying feelings, emotions, body, senses, the world, basically. Okay. And again, it's about having both. But when you, and for example, when a woman is in an interaction with a man, she can choose to stop choosing. If that makes sense, she can choose to let the man drive. And I think dancing is a really good example of that. So I'm a very, very avid dancer. I dance all of the, you know, conscious dancing things like five rhythms, ecstatic dance, movement medicine, open floor, and other modalities. And when I dance with a woman, for example, it's like I lead her to an experience that she couldn't have by herself. So many people dance by themselves, and they have great experiences, as I do. I dance by myself as well. But when I dance with a woman, and suddenly she tries to, you know, swirl me. Swirl, is this the world? Swirl? Like, you know, like get somebody else to move in circles.
Yes.
My English is a bonus for the listeners. So she tries to swell me, and I kind of like look at her, and it's like, I'm like, you know, it's like, do you want to let me drive, and do you want to surrender to my guidance? And it doesn't mean that the woman needs to do that, but if she wants to surrender, and that's the feedback that I get from women that I dance with. She said, I'm never able to surrender to a man, but with you, I was able to surrender with you in the dance, and it was amazing. You know, so that's what I invite both men and women to do, to both feel, which is the feminine, but also to lead. And when we embody our innate energies, and for most men, their innate energy is masculine, and for most women, their innate energy is feminine, I think there's a sense of peace and also freedom that comes from that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And in order for a woman to really let go and surrender to the masculine, they have to feel safe and secure and like they can let go and open up. So what if they don't feel that?
So trust and surrender are not a black and white thing. There's a grayscale. There's a lot of levels of trust and surrender. And I would say that obviously, first of all, you need to kind of like be with somebody that you can at least trust to some level as a woman. Okay. So you're not, you know, going in a dark alley and, you know, surrendering to any man that's coming on to you. But if you're with a man that at least you share some kind of love and connection, you need to allow him to make more decisions, and you need to, in some ways, to accept and to receive his decisions, not blindly. You know, it's like if he takes you to a sushi restaurant and you hate sushi, you know, you tell him like, listen, dude, I don't like sushi. But let him make the decision. Let him make the invitation. Let him guide. And when you reflect it in a loving way, in a supportive way, not in a bitchy way. Okay, so some women, it's like, let the men... There's a joke, I'm half Polish, so my dad tells a lot of Polish jokes, you know, and one of them would be, a Polish woman asks her husband a question, answers instead of him, and then tells him he was wrong. So don't give him a hard time if he, you know, took you to a sushi restaurant and you don't like it. Instead, find relationship and human interaction is a constant evolving process. And nobody's born, you know, perfect at it. And I would say that the more you allow yourself to be led and guided, the happier you will become. And even if there's sometimes mistakes, it's mistake on, like, you know, the sushi restaurant mistake, it's mistakes on the way to empowerment, on the way to the presence of the man, on the way to the trust and surrender and the bliss of the woman. Because, like, seriously, in dance and obviously in lovemaking or in body work sessions that I do, women say that some of the biggest things that they got is the ability to surrender. So to get back to your question, ask the man to decide for you. Ask the man to guide you. And by the way, it can happen between two men as well. I went with one of my best friends yesterday, a guy who's a very like manly guy, to a really nice rooftop restaurant in Melbourne. And he was like, order for me. I trust you. And that makes me so happy to hear that, you know. And I basically chose the whole like tapas dinner myself, and he loved it. And it's the same thing with, you know, it's like if I make love with a woman and she says, you know, it's like, I trust you and I trust your guidance. So you choose to receive, you choose to let go of control, you choose to let go of direction, and instead you're focusing on feeling and you're focusing on expressing.
I love that. You'll have a very deep, open experience when we completely let go and let them take over and just surrender to that moment. It's really beautiful. I notice that in my own relationship. You know, if I'm ever, you know, not present and not willing to surrender in that moment, then you know, even lovemaking can hurt, but yeah. It's when I completely surrender, open my heart, trust that it is like a godly experience.
Yeah, totally. And I would add that, by the way, it's like a man can surrender to a woman as well, or a man can surrender to another man. And I gave an example of my friend, and also I gave an example of myself. I attended a Watsu session. Watsu is water shiatsu. And that's unbelievable modality. It's so beautiful. So I was held by a woman in water, sometimes underwater, you know, and I surrendered to her guidance. And for me, it was so liberating and so beautiful and so amazing not to make any decisions and instead to be guided and nurtured by a woman in a pool, in a body temperature pool. And also in sexual relationship, you know, it's like a few weeks ago I was doing a lot of work, and sometimes I get to be my to-do list. I am my project management system. I'm just that. I'm just mind and tasks and projects. So I laid between my head on my partner's legs, and she caressed me for half an hour. So it took me half an hour to get back to my body and get back to presence, you know, and then I made love with her.
Absolutely. My husband does the same thing. You know, he'll just lay down and say, you know, can you just pour all of your beautiful goddess feminine energy all over me, and I'll just massage or tickle or stroke or something like that to help bring him back into his body, because he's very, you know, during the day we're in our head and we're go, go, go and creating and doing all of these amazing things that we're doing. But, you know, sometimes that energy is a little bit harder to shift. So it's nice to come back into your body.
Totally.
So you talk about becoming orgasmic. What does that actually mean, and how can we become orgasmic?
That's obviously one of my biggest focuses with the work that I do. And I say that when you expand your definition of orgasm, your orgasm will expand. Okay, and it's with everything. When you expand your definition of sex, your sex would expand. When you expand your definition of work and business and career, they would expand. And the problem is that most people think that they know based on their own experience or the experience of the mass culture. So speaking about women, and again, please excuse me for generalizing, but it is a kind of like a true generalization that most women experience orgasm, if they experience orgasm, as a very short, sharp peak of pleasure, followed by an immediate drop of pleasure, arousal, interest, and so on. So when I was you know, going down on women years ago, before I learned about this stuff, like a woman would have pleasure and then she would orgasm, and then she would push me away from her clit. I was going down on her and she would push me away. And I wouldn't understand why she's pushing me away. It's like, oh, but you were enjoying this when I was going down on you a moment ago. And I would kind of like hold on to her pubes and try to kind of like keep, you know, licking her and stuff. And she would be like, no, it's hypersensitive. Did you resonate? Do you recognize this hypersensitive feeling?
Absolutely.
So the question is why? You know, stop and ask yourself why that is the case. So the reason is that clitoral orgasms specifically are those kind of like short, sharp peaks of orgasm, and they're not the only kind of orgasm. And when there's clitoral stimulation and clitoral orgasm, the sexual energy is basically exploded and lost. So because the sexual energy is exploded and lost, this is what creates this feeling of hypersensitivity. And it's also a feeling of like being done. So it's like, I had my orgasm, tick the box, thank you very much, I'm done, on to the next thing.
Yeah, it's like, get away from me now.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm done, I'm good, thank you very much, it's been great. I had like how long is the clitoral pleasure? You know, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, you know, that's it, I'm good. And for some women, there's also a feeling of frustration because they were building up towards something, but they've never actually experienced what they were yearning for. Because I would say that what women yearn for is not just a pleasure, but it's a surrender. In a clitoral orgasm, it's not so much about surrender. It's a very controlling one. There's usually a lot of effort. So if you look at porn, for example, women rubbing their clit like you know, very intensely, or using very, very high powered vibrators, or the man is, you know, going down very intensely on a woman. So if you also hear the sounds that the woman is making when she's building up towards a clitoral orgasm, it comes from the belly, and it gets stuck in the throat, and it sounds very forceful. So it's kind of like, okay, and I can hear a woman from, you know, it's like in a porn movie or a client, you know, laying down on the massage table, and she's trying to push herself to orgasm. And instead, there's another kind of orgasm, which we can call implosive, vaginal, G-spot, cervical, whole body, and so on. And this kind of orgasm is more round. Yeah, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there three types of orgasm, or is it just two? Is there more like of that clitoral, short, sharp, and then is it more deep with the cervical and the G-spot? Is there two types, or is there more?
So there's two general types, and then there's 20 or 30 like other like subtypes.
And okay, again, right.
I know it sounds very technical, and don't worry about it. The main thing to remember is that there's the explosive orgasm, and after the explosive orgasm, you know, there's a short and sharp peak and feeling of hypersensitivity in your clit, feeling of some women, by the way, I didn't mention it. Some women even get slightly down or even depressed. Some women cannot have another orgasm for a few minutes or even hours. And there's all this hormonal shift and changes and roller coasters following a clitoral orgasm. So women are already, relatively to men, they're already more emotional, more prone to be controlled by the emotion. And clitoral orgasms make it even worse. Side note, it also increases bleeding.
When you're on your moon cycle or just off?
Yeah.
Oh, it increases the bleeding.
Yeah.
Right. Why is
yeah,
that?
So bleeding is one of the ways that women lose energy, and menstruation is beautiful and sacred, but you know, women are experiencing this for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days, not to mention all of the before and after, where they're losing a lot of their life force. This is probably like another conversation. this is if there was ever a can of worms in conversation, this is it. Because literally some women are like, oh, this man is telling me not to menstruate. No, darling, I'm not telling you not to menstruate. I'm still telling you your menstruation is amazing, but why not decrease the loss of blood and energy and life force and mental acuity and all of this stuff? And just keep the sacred elements of this, but reduce the loss of it. So that's maybe we can go into it in another conversation. But the thing with the clitoral orgasm, it creates an energy flow which is explosive, and it's basically removing energy from your body. And in Tantra, which is the tradition that I come from, we talk about keeping our energies in the body, about circulating the energies in our body, and also about sublimating it and harnessing it in our spiritual practice, in our daily life, in our relationship, in our creativity, in our business. Clitoral orgasms, again, they're not bad, they're not wrong, you're not evil for having them. But once you become more conscious of your energies, once you become more conscious of your mental, emotional state, you start to be aware that these are not serving you.
That's so interesting. For many years, I didn't know that there was this other way, because it's very taboo and it's not spoken about, you know, at school or in personal development classes as a young girl or boy. And so I didn't know that there was any other way. And now reflecting back, you know, when I was having these clitoral orgasms and they were very short and sharp. I was just thinking just then as you were talking about how my moon cycle was at that time, and it was very long and very heavy and draining. And now that I've been exposed to these deep cervical orgasms and you know, omming and tantra and circulating that orgasmic energy, they're quite short, you know, 4 days, very light, comes and goes, almost don't even really notice it anymore, where I used to be crippled over in pain and not be able to get out of bed. So that's really interesting that you know, the types of orgasms that we're having reflect in our moon cycle every month. It makes total sense. So I didn't even really put that together, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's also part of a larger issue. And by the way, we're still talking about orgasm, and I'll get back to defining the orgasm in a moment. But it's part of human condition, which is around not being able to hold energy. So men ejaculate because they're not able to hold the energy. Women have clitoral orgasms because they're not able to hold the energy, the intensity, the depth of the energy of the stronger orgasmic states. Okay, the same thing with menstruation. Okay, so menstruation, like I think you said, the word cripples. Mm. Okay, so if a woman menstruates less, and there's examples in society of women who were very successful and powerful, and they were able to menstruate less. So it's about using your beautiful feminine energy in order to change the world. It's about using your feminine energy in order to be a better mom. It's about to be a better woman, to be more creative, to share your highest gifts with the world. And again, like I said, to change the world. And most people are, because of self-worth issues and self-belief issue and tall poppy syndrome and Jantelagen in Scandinavia and so on, people don't allow themselves to step up to the plate. So they use sex as a way to deplete their energy. They use clitoral stimulation, food, and other kind of unhealthy habits in order to drain their energy, so they don't have to deal with increased level of energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm all for cultivating more energy to, you know, share more with the world. So this is totally up my alley. And I love, you know, what you're saying for the men. You know, practicing that non-ejaculation and that circulating of that energy and funneling that energy into their creativity, I notice an absolute difference within my husband, you know, because he practices that and cultivating that kundalini energy. And it's very different to when he does ejaculate. Yeah. It's completely different. So, you know, what would you say to someone who, you know, a woman who would like to approach this type of thing with their partner? You know, if they go home today or this evening and they say, right, you're not going to ejaculate for the next 30 days. Like, how can their husband might, or their partner might be like, excuse me? So how can we approach this? I know you talk a lot about, you know, it starts with us, and awakening our full orgasmic potential really does start with us. So that's a great place to start. But if someone does have a beautiful, open, loving partner, how can they approach this with them and maybe start to explore this with them?
I'm gonna relate to something you just said, which is it's all starts with you. You know, sexuality starts with you. And if you want to have great sex, first learn to have great sex with yourself.
What do you mean by that?
So I probably like, let's get back to the, you know, what to do with your man piece later. But I think for a woman to become orgasmic, and that's my big message to the world. It's like, in order for a woman to become orgasmic, she needs to take things into her own hands, Okay. So I get so many women that come to me and they want to be saved. They want to be rescued. They want to be healed. They want somebody else to do the work for them. And again, that's like a theme. Or they're relying on something external, you know, so they have their vibrators and they have their few of clitoral orgasms, and it's all external. And what I lead women, what I guide women in, is to discover it themselves. So first of all, self-pleasuring as a self-loving practice, as a self-empowering practice. So some people would call it masturbation and say, oh, you know, I'm already masturbating every morning and I'm using my vibrator and I'm having a few clitoral orgasms. And I'm saying it's not exactly that. It's about having a practice that, first of all, is non-clitoral, which means you're not dissipating, losing, exploding your sexual energies, and instead you're cultivating them, you're harnessing them, you're circulating them in your body. So that's the first thing, is basically letting go of the clitoral addiction. And I would say that most women are addicted to clitoral orgasm in the same way that men are addicted to ejaculation.
Because it's that quick, sharp fix. It's like the junk food, you know, that quick fix, that sugar high.
Yeah. And it's literally an addiction. It's like I work with women who are addicted to clitoral orgasms. Okay. I had one client who was giving herself 100 clitoral orgasms every day.
Oh my goodness.
And side note, she was suffering from, how is it called? Chronic fatigue.
Wow. Yeah. Cause it's just expelling so much energy going out all the time. Yeah,
exactly. And also, and by the way, I'm not saying that clitoral stimulation is bad. I love the clitoris. We love the clitoris. The clitoris is amazing. But the idea is how to use clitoral stimulation, but not to have a clitoral orgasm.
And use it so it doesn't deplete you and give you chronic fatigue like this woman.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea with the self-pleasuring practice is, first of all, acknowledge your, a woman's need to acknowledge her dependency on clitoral orgasm, which is easy. Again, assuming that a woman can even have clitoral orgasms, and some women cannot even have that. And this practice would help them as well. So this practice would help a woman, whatever level she's at. And I also worked with women who thought they were really, really, really orgasmic. Or who were really, really orgasmic, and after working with me, they became even more orgasmic. So the idea with the self-pleasuring practice is to take at least 20 minutes every day to do self-pleasuring, to explore all of your body, to explore genital stimulation as well, and also to include internal stimulation. So starting with your fingers, first of all, insert your fingers into your vagina, and many women have a problem with that.
Why do you think that is?
Because society is infantile.
And it's taboo, and it's, you know, it's dirty almost in inverted commas, or it's rude, yeah, or it's naughty. But one of the most beautiful things that you can do is cultivate the most gorgeous self-loving relationship with yourself and your body. Like, this is our temple. And I love what you say about becoming so in tune with your body and really getting to know your body. I think it's so important. And the more that we can love and respect our temple, the less we will, you know, trash it with junk food or with alcohol, yeah, or with drugs or with junk food sex, you know, or, you know, one night stands and things like that. So that's when we cultivate so much respect and love for our body, we're less likely to treat it poorly.
Totally. And I have clients, both male and female, that are able to let go of this kind of like obsessive quick fix behaviors thanks to this practice of self-pleasuring. Because once you're able to master or control or be aware of this need of instant gratification through sex, either through ejaculation or clitoral orgasm, you're also able to resist other temptations. So let me just get, I want to really give your listeners a lot of value to give them a really concrete practice, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Go for it.
So awesome. So it's about, first of all, letting go of clitoral orgasm, still having clitoral stimulation, but without the orgasm itself, and then exploring internal stimulation first with your fingers and then with a penis shaped object. And that can be a vegetable, or that can be a dildo, silicone dildo, glass dildo, but just not a vibrating one. Okay.
And why is that?
And again, because the vibrations numb the vagina. And it's also a very unnatural thing that the man usually cannot provide. I have one technique that does that, but again, it's like most of the time, it's something that men cannot provide. Mm-hmm. And it also takes the focus. So it's again, it's this strong, quick, intense stimulation instead of developing awareness, acuity, sensitivity, perception, and so on. So I really, really do not recommend vibrators. And also with the dildo thing, women start to practice and they're having a lot of resistance because, as I started saying, society is infantile in its relation to sexuality. Okay, so it's all external. So if you look at little girls, they rub themselves over anything. Yeah, if you've seen like little girls basically masturbate on like toys and you know the bed, like anything which basically they can rub themselves on. You've seen that? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. And they're very fascinated, aren't they? They're kind of like, what does this mean? And they don't really understand. And it'd be great if we could, you know, teach our children, you know, that what this is about from a very young age.
Yeah, and I'm very passionate, by the way, about sexual education for young people and their parents. But the point I'm making is that for youngsters, sexuality is external. Okay, also boys, they discover their penis and they have an erection, and then they go into teenagehood, and you know, it's like girls actually start to masturbate, and everything is external, and men start to teenagers start to jerk off, and it's this infatuation with semen and the clitoris. The problem is that most of society is still on that level. So if you look at porn, and porn is not just a problem, but it's also a symptom. So porn shows us what level society is on. So what you see 99% of the time in porn is focus on ejaculation. You know, a man would pull out and ejaculate. So you have to see the cum shot. You have to see semen. You have to see the white stuff to get your money's worth. And also with doing it, like what the woman receives is a lot of strong, hard, fast, and also a lot of clitoral stimulation, and also kind of like focused on the main erogenous zones of the body. And this is why I say it's like this is a very infantile level of sexuality, because once you deepen sexuality, you understand it's not just about the clitoris, it's about inside your body, and it's not just about the hard, strong, fast, but it's about the slow, the soft, and the subtle, as well as the strong and intense.
It's that balance again, isn't it?
It's balance, and it's, I would say there's a deeper word, which is another word, which is a range. It's understanding that sexuality is a range. It's not a black and a white thing. So going back to women have a lot of issues and resistance from inserting something to their vagina because they think it's wrong. They think it's dirty. They think it's bad. they think like I'm a slut for, you know, masturbating with a zucchini. You know, I'm like what would my mom say or something like that. And I literally worked with women who day after day try to insert something into their vagina. And you know, it's like, oh, they don't feel aroused, they don't feel ready, they don't feel that it's right. And it's all psychological. It's, let's say, 90% psychological. And once the women are able to that's another thing. Women are very much, with this clitoral stimulation, they're very much genital focused, exactly like the porn movies and exactly like men. You know, it's like, how many times did you have men, obviously before your husband, we know your husband is not that, but before your husband came to you and attacked your breast, like, you know, attacked your nipples and then attacked your clitoris, went full power to either finger you or penetrate you. Okay.
Yeah. It honestly, I have had moments in the past where it has felt exactly like that, like, yeah, attack almost. Yeah.
And honestly, this is what women are doing to themselves as well. So instead of arousing their body, instead of building that connection and love and arousal and pleasure all over the body, women go straight for the kill. So I teach women to not just to masturbate, but really to self-love and self-pleasure. And that might include a sexy dance that they do by themselves to some really nice music for like 20 minutes. And that might include a bath or a shower. And that might include rubbing oil over all of their body. So it's really about love, making love with yourself. So then you get your body to want to be penetrated. You masturbate around, or your self-pleasure around your external vagina in order to get your yoni to want to have something inside. So if you recognize this feeling of like the vagina is nearly like lovingly, positively painful because she wants to be filled. You notice this feeling of it's like, I want something inside me now.
And it's that warming up. And I love that you say, you know, it's not about masturbation. It's self-love and self-pleasure. Yeah. It's about honoring yourself. And it's a beautiful thing. And we don't have to, there doesn't have to be so much dogma, and it doesn't have to be taboo. Like, get over it. This is about cultivating a beautiful, loving relationship with yourself and your body.
Yeah. And so this practice done every day for at least 30 days, and when I say at least, I usually mean double or triple that, you know, this is something that has changed my client's life and my student's life and the readers of the book's life. And I get emails from women. I remember this one woman from a small town, kind of like Bible Belt, hardly had any orgasms in her life, read a few of the articles that were in the book, took the kids to her mom, went back home, started to self-pleasure, and she had multiple G-spot orgasms and female ejaculation, and she cried and she laughed, and she basically had this experience for hours. So not all women can have this on the first go, and some women would literally need to go through a month of doing that. And my book is called, you know, Orgasm Unleashed, Your Guide to Pleasure, Healing and Power. So it's about exploring all of these elements. It's about exploring different kinds of pleasure. It's about exploring healing. It's about exploring self-love. And it's also about empowerment, because this practice is a practice that empowers women. First of all, obviously empowers them sexually, makes them more healthy. And you know how many issues women have with cysts and cancers and so on in their female parts. It's about empowering women outside of the bedroom as well. It's about wellness. It's about creativity, because sexual energy is creative energy. So really this practice, which is an inclusive practice. Okay, you mentioned earlier another practice which only focuses on the fucking upper left quadrant of the clitoris. While that is okay for what it is, I teach a practice which is inclusive, holistic, and more mature in its recognition of a woman's, you know, whole vagina and whole body and mind and soul.
Beautiful. So how can we get our men lovingly to experiment with us or be open to this type of play, so to speak? You know, what would you suggest? How would you suggest we approach this?
Approach this with ourselves or approach this with our partners?
With our partners. So once we have kind of really got it sorted within ourselves, because, you know, like you said, it all starts with you, and I absolutely 100% agree with you on that. And then when we would like to invite our partner to explore this with us, how do we approach it without kind of demasculating them?
Okay, so it's about the woman doing her own work and becoming multi-orgasmic and doing a self-pleasuring, and this is something that would attract her men to want to share that with her, you know? So if you are self-pleasuring in the morning, moaning, shouting, writhing, making the bed make noises, wetting the bed with your beautiful vaginal juices, and your man is, you know, around and he's noticing that, he would want to have, you know, to have part in that. So you tell him, yes, I'm doing this work. Would you like to learn how to make me orgasm? So you don't tell him, you invite him. So a woman doesn't so much direct, a woman seduces. So seduce your man to take part in this and say again, would you like to learn how to make me orgasmic? Would you like to fuck me so well? Say fuck with a lot of love and respect and honor. So would you like to fuck me so well that I'll be melting in your arms? So what man wouldn't want to do that? And by the way, if a man doesn't want to do that, it's not the right man for you. So first of all, you invite him, and then he will say, yeah, okay, I'd like to do that. And then you say, it's like, okay, one of the things you can do is learn how to last longer. And listen, I've heard about this, you know, tantra teacher that teaches men how to last as long as they want. and to have multiple orgasms. Wouldn't you like to have multiple orgasms as a man? Again, you ask him, you invite him. And again, I'm assuming that the man will be like, yeah, sure, I'd love to have multiple orgasms. I'd love to have more pleasure. And then you say, it's like, okay, go to Eyal's website. And you know, there's a free training, videos and text files and so on, mainly videos. And he can get started on this practice. Okay, so if you go to intimatepower.com, there is on the sidebar, you will find like a free ejaculation control program. And I can also put it in the show notes, send you the link so your ladies can share this with your men.
Absolutely. We'll put everything that we've mentioned so far in this episode in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about jotting things down if you're driving or anything like that. But I love what you said. Everything, like everything in life, it's an invitation. And the more work that you do within yourself, and whether that's in the bedroom or, you know, with your belief systems or whatever area, it's reflected out in all of the different areas. The more you work on yourself, it's going to radiate out into every area of your life. And that is what I love about your work. It will ripple effect out into every area. So I wanted to ask you, what's one thing that you're working on or would like to improve within yourself at the moment? And maybe it's something that you're, just currently working on.
So I think the personally, the sexual level is going very, very well. On the professional level, I'm working on getting this message and turning it into a movement. So I'm working on something called the Real Sexual Revolution, or the Real Sexual Revolution movement. And this is about bringing sexual education and empowerment to the masses. And this is taking my ideas, my practices, the practices that have worked so well for so many women and men, and really taking it to the next level, where it's been talked about in main media. And when there's practitioners who are doing my work, because obviously there's many different deeper levels of the work. It's about getting Orgasm Unleashed, the book that I've published, into the hands of millions of women. Because I envision a world where a woman gets it to her, 14th birthday or something like that.
It's a great idea.
So really it's about, I'm learning how to do this work. And I'm, by the way, very open to cooperate with coaches, teachers, leaders, not just in the sexuality field, but any person who works with people. Okay, with any kind of, holistic coaching, healing, wellness, personal development, even spiritual teaching, because that's part of that as well.
That's amazing. And what's something that you like within yourself, like that's, what you're working on in your business, but what's something within yourself that you're currently struggling with, or that you're currently wanting to really move through? Have you got anything that you're currently quite mindful of working on?
Well, I have to say that my life is always quite amazing, and I'm as a lifestyle choice. And again, this is one of the things I work with clients, because this is what I do in my personal life. I live my life as a way to express myself and my gifts and my hobbies and my passions. So I can't say that I'm really dealing with anything like major in life. My mission and my business are very much part of what I do. So there's not so much separation between the personal and the professional. So because I'm doing kind of like, I'm on my mission, this is not something that is separate. And that's another thing that is one of my messages, that sexuality is something that affects all of your life. And there's no separation between the personal and the professional. They're all connected. If I have to pick something, I'm probably working on going into a deeper relationship, deeper romantic relationship. I've been with many women and have had many, many meaningful experiences with women. And now I'm in just started a relationship with a woman, and it is just mind blowing. So I'm staying until the middle of the night because she's on a different continent, and putting a lot of focus on that. So it's not a struggle, it's a beautiful journey.
Beautiful. Now let's pretend you have a magic wand.
I do have a magic wand.
Not that kind of wand. But let's pretend you have a magic wand and you could put one book in the school curriculum in every single high school around the world. Now this is besides your book, Orgasm Unleashed. That is already in the school curriculum. What would be one book that you would put in the school curriculum for every single teenager all around the world?
Easy answer. Very easy answer. So I've been, you know, like you have ideas throughout your life and you say some things or you resonate with some things that some people say, and suddenly you find like a book or a methodology that you go like, oh my God, I've been saying this all my life. You know when this happens? So I've discovered Stoicism. And together with all of the spiritual practice that I do, Advaita Vedanta, teachings of non-duality, and so on, Stoicism is basically the way of my life. And there's a book which is called The Obstacle is the Way by an amazing guy called Ryan Holiday. And this is a book about how to live your life as a creator and not as somebody who's just reacting to life. So how to really create your life, how to be in control of yourself and your emotions and turn adversity into your friend. So it sounds a little bit masculine, but it's also about flow and surrender. Okay, I would recommend this book to everyone. And literally, if there was like a version of the book that was taught to 8-year-olds, that this would be amazing. Because society, again, as a juvenile society, it's very reactive and very childish. You know, so a man, you know, a very masculine, you know, muscle man that goes into a fight at a bar, he's not being a man. He's being a little girl who's just, or a little boy who's like just reacting. Okay. So it's really about developing character.
Yeah. I love that book. Thank you. And I'll pop that in the show notes. So let's talk about how your day looks. Now, do you have any morning routines and how does that look? How do you set yourself up for success and how do you prime yourself for the day? Because I am fascinated by people that I admire and love and look up to and who are very successful and what their morning routine is. So can you talk us through your morning routine?
Yes. So I try to get a good night's sleep, and this is something that is sometimes overlooked. So I try to get my at least 6 hours, and if I can, you know, 7 or 8 hours. And I also sleep in the afternoon. And my, you know, it's like I have a booking service online and nobody can book me in the afternoon. Okay, so this is not just sleep, but it's rest and reading and so on. So that's also like a routine. When I wake up in the morning, I do a few yogic purification actions. Okay, so not just brushing my teeth. So there's a few of them. There are times in my life where I self-pleasure more. So let's say in an ideal day, at least three times a week, I'll be self-pleasuring first thing in the morning. And again, self-pleasuring without ejaculating. That's the idea.
And what are the yogic techniques that you do?
So, for example, I'm scraping my tongue.
Mm-hmm. I do that too. I love that.
Yeah, it's like I cannot start my day without scraping my tongue and washing my mouth with salt. So salt grabs everything in my mouth and really cleans it. In the past, I also used to do Jalanetti, which is running lukewarm salty water through my nose. Another just to give another idea of yogic practices, I don't do this so often, but there's also Vamana Dauti, which is a form of cleansing your stomach with water, which is a very, very beautiful practice. And obviously brushing my teeth. Often I would take a cold shower, and I know cold shower sounds a bit intense, but it's just a beautiful practice and it has a lot of beautiful health effects as well.
It's really great for your health and your body and your wellness. It really strengthens your mitochondria.
Yeah. And by the way, I do this even in cold Melbourne in winter. You know, so yeah, Melbourne can be really cold in winter. So I do this as well. So I usually meditate first thing in the morning as well, after my purification. I do a form of mindfulness meditation. I drink 2 or 3 glasses of water. I do some stretching. I do some exercise. Sometimes in my life, I also have a morning walk in nature. And then I get into, first of all, into clearing my energy with a combination of kinesiology and Chinese medicine and stuff like this. It's a system called the spiral, which I do again first thing when I sit in at my computer. I have a gratitude practice where I write around 3 to 5 things which I'm grateful for. And sometimes it is even simple things like, it's gray, it's rainy, it's cold, and I love it. So it's not just, oh yeah, it's sunny today and it's so nice. No, it's like celebrating everything in life. So there's a gratitude practice. There's some writing, at least. You know what? If there's something that I'm trying to do more, it's more writing. Okay. That's definitely something I'm trying to do more of. So yeah, these are some of my rituals. And then I try to watch the sunset and have a sunset walk or a jog or a run every sunset. And I literally change my availability throughout the year, depending on the time of the sunset.
Yeah, absolutely. And What's the spiral technique that you spoke about?
So that's available at clearyourshit.com. So you can learn that by yourself. It's a combination of kinesiology, spiral dynamics, the Chinese meridian system, the chakra system, coaching, NLP, probably a few other modalities as well. So that's let's say when clients sign up to my coaching, I send them to one of my coaches that takes them through the spiral because I believe in that so much. So it's a good system.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. So speaking of gratitude, what are 3 things you're most recently grateful for in your life right now?
So this new relationship that I'm starting is really amazing. Okay. And that's amazing that, let's talk in a few months and see how that evolves, but it's really, really amazing even as it is. Another thing that I'm really grateful for is my dance practice. So again, I'm a very, very avid dancer. I literally just spent 10 days in Amsterdam and had 4 conscious dance events and 4 ecstatic dance events. And another one immediately when I came back to Melbourne. So I love my dance practice. Few other things that I'm grateful for in my life. So I'm grateful to be able to live my life in a way that allows me to do what I love, to help other people and to make money from that. And I think that's really the holy trinity for me. So
beautiful.
So I'm free to travel the world. I'm free to, you know, I'm going to Byron Bay tomorrow and speaking at the conference. Holding a very beautiful, very special session, by the way, at the conference, holding workshops around Australia and around the world. I'm very, very grateful for my life.
Beautiful. Now, if you, in your opinion, I would love to know, what is one of the most important things that you can do for your health that people can start to do today? What's one of the most important things that they could do for their health?
Love themselves and stop being so hard on themselves.
Apart from self-pleasuring,
you know, but again, people focus so much on, it's like, you know, like my parents are hilarious. My mom keeps saying, it's like, this is healthy, this is not healthy, this is healthy, this is not healthy. But the way of life is not really healthy. This is something that I've been journeying with myself. And for me, self-love comes before everything. So I've become much easier on myself. And this is why I'm easier on other people as well. And people reflected to me. It's like, oh yeah, something changed about you. I'm like, yeah, you're damn right it did. Because I don't have the critic in my head so much. And I used to have it so, so loud. You know, so now if I don't finish whatever my to-do list for the day, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And I'm not complacent, but I'm celebrating whatever I have and whatever I do.
Sounds like you've mastered your bad boy. That's for sure. You're in a bad boy.
Yeah.
So what's one of the most important things you could do for wealth? And when I say wealth, I mean, you know, your career and what you do in the world. What's one of the most important things you could do for that area of your life?
Again, mindset. So I actually work, people know me as a sexual empowerment coach, but actually work with mainly women around their, again, doing what they love, helping people and making money. And the main thing about wealth, first of all, changing your mindset around wealth, because people get focused on the tactics and the techniques, like, we need to do Facebook advertisement. We heard Facebook advertising are really important. Oh, we need to put flyers. Oh, you know, it's like, so it's all tactics. But maybe they have a voice in their head that says money is bad. Making money is bad. Rich people are evil. If I become rich, I will lose my friends. If I become rich, I will not be spiritual. So there's a lot of either or dynamics that people are running. So sometimes I literally need two or three sessions with a person in order to change the wealth mindset before their actions. And through that, I was able to help some clients to double or even to triple their coaching rates. Okay, so it all starts with mindset. And after the mindset, yes, go for doing what you love. Go for offering maximum value to people. And obviously, there's much more to that, saving, investing, and so on, you know, three buckets and all of this stuff. But it starts with mindset.
You're talking my language, babe. It's definitely. So finally, the last question, what is one of the most important things that you could do for love? So for your love for yourself and love for other people in your relationships.
So self-love is the first one. Okay, so it's definitely. Kind of like, so when you love yourself, you'll be able to love others more. And I would say it's a little bit of a yogic technique as well, and something that I use in sexual healing, which is about projecting yourself to the other person's body, or like we usually say projecting yourself to the other person's shoes. No, but for me, it's like, for example, with this man friend of mine that I met yesterday. I love this guy. It's one of my biggest loves of my life is this man, you know? And for me, it's like, I'm like, what can I do to have this experience the best that I can for both of us? And by the way, love, sometimes we talk about, you know, sacrificing yourself and only seeing the other person. But I believe that there's a beautiful experience, which is love, which is shared. So you're not sacrificing yourself, but both of you are shining and expressing yourself and receiving each other in the an experience of love. Okay, so it's about serving another from a full place, not from an empty place.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And before we wrap up, I just wanted to acknowledge you and say thank you and express my gratitude for you and the work that you do in the world. It is so important, and which is why I wanted to bring you on the show and why I love your book and the work that you're doing. What you're doing is matters. It's really important, and I'm so grateful to have crossed paths with you and to have you in my life. And I'm so grateful for all the healing and the love that you're spreading into the world. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'm deeply grateful.
Thank you very much, love, and it's thanks to people like you that this work spreads. You know, so we need people like you that actually are willing to do these conversations, because some women would not have a man on their show talking about female orgasm and menstruation. So yeah, so I really acknowledge that, and the listeners are welcome to, you know, read. There's a sample of the book on the website orgasmunleashed.com, so they can have a look at that. Really connect with me if you have questions, if you have anything that come up from this conversation, even if you're triggered, you know, let me know, you know, so contact me through the website and let me know. I'll be happy to hear.
And we'll put all of those details in the show notes and everyone can reach out to you and check out your awesome resources. So thank you again so much, and we'll speak soon. So much goodness right there. Go and grab his book, Orgasm Unleashed, and dive into some beautiful self-loving practices and cultivate that beautiful relationship with yourself. I love that he says it all begins with us. If we want to inspire or empower anyone else, our lovers or anyone, our children, it always comes back to us. So remember that. It's really important. So if you loved today's interview, please subscribe and leave me a 5-star review, because that helps our message get out into the world to more goddesses all around the world. And don't forget to tell me on Twitter who you would like me to interview, and make sure you tag me at Mel_Ambrosini and the person you want me to interview using the hashtag The Melissa Ambrosini Show. And for everything that we mentioned in the podcast, go and check out the show notes, www.melissaambrosini.com/9. And you can go and check out all the other podcasts at melissaambrosini.com/podcast. Thank you so much for being here and being so willing to want to grow and evolve and be the best version of yourself. I truly honor you and bow down to you. I love, love, love people who are just so willing to grow and learn, and you are one of those people. So give yourself a little pat on the back. Now, if there is someone in your life that you think would really benefit from this episode, please share it with them right now. Forward it on to them so that they can awaken the goddess within and cultivate a beautiful relationship with themselves. And until next time, my beautiful soul sister, don't forget that love is sexy, healthy is liberating, and wealthy isn't a dirty word. Don't forget to head to shelaunch.com to register for my free 3-day six-figure solopreneur challenge from April 29 to May 1st. I am so excited to see you there.